A couple weeks back, I was heading home to Independence from Blue Springs. I had been playing volleyball one evening with my daughter. She's 21, and we'd been out there playing in Blue Springs. We were heading home, and we're driving past Independence Center. That's where all the mall is, all the shops are, and restaurants, stuff like that. Happens to be a Hooters there. And as we're driving past, my daughter turns to me. She goes, "You know, I remember when I was a kid," she goes, "I was like in first grade, and you told me that Hooters was mom's favorite restaurant." She said, "I went to school, and a little boy in my class was telling everybody how Hooters had nothing but chicken wings and women with really tight t-shirts on." And I fought on that playground for Hooters. She goes, "I told him, there is no way that that's true because Hooters is my mom's favorite restaurant." In all sincerity, I do not remember ever telling her that, but it absolutely sounds like something I would do. I probably did it to rib her mom or to just get a chuckle, but it stuck with her. Her whole life, driving past Hooters, she remembers me doing that. And it got me to thinking, you know, dads are a lot like gardeners. And we don't often realize it. We plant seeds in our children, ideas, thoughts, dreams, hopes, ideals that we hope will take root and grow in our kids to help them be good people. Sometimes we plant silly ideas because it's funny. But most of the time, I take my job as dad very seriously. I try to teach my daughter in the hope that it will help her one day, that it'll form a foundation in her that helps her be the person she's meant to be. Let me give you an example. When my daughter was very little, when she was 1 and 2 and 3, my wife and I used to tell her all the time that she was beautiful. But anytime we said that to her, we always stopped and defined the word. We would tell her, "Beautiful means you're smart. Beautiful means you're strong. Beautiful means you're kind, or you're generous, or you're caring, or you're faithful, or you're capable." The point was, we wanted her to believe that beauty came not from outward appearance, but from inward character. That what made a person beautiful was something in here, not something out here. We also taught her how to tip. We would go to a restaurant. We always talked to her about what we were doing. We would talk to her about, "What kind of service do you think we got today? Was it good service?" We would talk to her about the fact that servers in restaurants typically make less than $3 an hour because the tips are supposed to make up for that. We wanted her to understand not only why we tip or how we tip, but why it's important to tip. When she was a junior in high school and she went to the prom, her and her date went to a restaurant that we'd been to many times. She loved that restaurant. That's probably why they went. At the end of the meal, the bill came and it was $30, and he put down $30 and said, "Okay, let's go." And she said, "Whoa, hold on." She said, "You didn't tip." And he said, "What do you mean?" He had no idea. He didn't know what she was talking about. I am positive that that kid ate in a restaurant with his parents 1,000 times, but he had no clue about what she was talking about. "Well, how much do I leave?" She showed him how to figure out how much the tip was. She asked him, she said, "What kind of service did we get? Did you like the service? Did you not like the service?" She said, "If you like the service, your tip should be more." That was something that we had planted in her when she was really young, and that stuck with her. I used to take her grocery shopping with me. And we would go to the produce section, and I would show her how to pick out good produce. Which vegetables and fruit, what color they needed to be, if they needed to be firm or soft, how you could tell by smelling it if it was ripe. I remember one time this elderly lady saw what we were doing, and she told me, she goes, I've never seen a parent do that. And I said, listen, she's almost 16. When I send her to the store to get me something, I don't want her to bring crap back. This is self-preservation. I need her to bring back good fruits and vegetables. And it stuck with her just this past week. She's house-sitting for some friends of ours out in Blue Springs for a couple weeks. She went to the grocery store to buy some groceries, and she called me to complain that all of the cantaloupe at the grocery store had no smell. She goes, they're not ripe. They're going to taste like nothing, aren't they? And I said, yeah. If you're lucky, they'll just taste like nothing. She remembers that. This is important. But I also talked to her about how vegetables aren't subsidized like meat is. And so how when you're poor and you don't have much money, financially it's easier to buy a dozen frozen burritos made with some sort of meat and bean and cheese than it is to buy apples. And that's important when you're trying to understand why people who don't have much money don't have a great diet. It's because we've given them choices that are bad. I wanted her to understand that correlation. This matters. These ideas, these concepts, as we celebrate Father's Day and remember our own fathers, the lessons they taught us, the ideals that they planted in us, the examples they gave us, as we think about our role as fathers, what we have left to our kids, what we've taught our kids, we consider these seeds we've planted, ideas and concepts and guidelines and hopes and dreams and boundaries. We planted these seeds to see what would grow there. What would take root? What would our kids become? What kind of an adult would they turn into? Which of the lessons would take hold? Apparently, Hooters being her mom's favorite restaurant was one that took hold for some reason. But this matters because this is also a reflection of our faith. As Christians, we plant seeds. Every day in the interactions we have, in the words we say, in the actions we take, we plant seeds. Seeds of love and hope and grace, forgiveness and peace. Every day we go forth like Johnny Appleseed, throwing out seeds and hoping that they're going to take root. Hoping they're going to catch with someone, that they're going to find that fertile soil and change their life, change their direction, change their destination. Every day we go forth to make disciples and we throw our seeds of faith into this harsh world, hoping to see a few of them sprout. We talk about this often. I have preached sermon after sermon after sermon, imploring you to be aware of the seeds you are planting, of the mark that you are making on this world, of the ripples that the stone that you drop in the water makes. To know that the impact of your words and actions, that you have the ability to form the kingdom of God in your daily steps. You are planting seeds every day. We talk about this and talk about this. We're missionaries for God every day. Our daily lives will take us close to someone today who needs to know about God's love, who needs to know about God's grace, who needs to feel God's forgiveness, and you might be the only chance they have to hear it, to see it, to feel it. It is a heady and weighty responsibility. And I think many of you take it to heart. I think that you think about it. You try to do good as often as possible. You try to be a presence of God's love and hope and salvation every day. I do. I believe that. I think you realize the opportunity you have. And I think often you go out and seek to be the grace in someone's path. But as I contemplated my role as father to my daughter, the seeds that I planted and am planting in her to be a good person, I realized there was a piece missing from our conversation. We have talked, you and I, often of our role in planting these seeds of grace and love in our world that we might impact lives and transform individuals through faith. But often I think, I have described it as a random event. go about your day, throw some grace and love out there, and some of them might take root. But I was missing something. My wife wants a row of trees planted along our property line for shade, for foliage, for beauty. So we went down to Suburban Lawn and Garden, got in a little golf cart, drove around their back lot. They have lovely trees at Suburban Lawn and Garden for a very pretty penny. My wife wanted like 12 trees. I'm like, that's like $3,000. So we went home. We were walking around my yard. I got the spade out of the garage, and we went looking for volunteers. Those trees that take root this time of year, right? You see the little saplings spring up. They're like this tall, got like 6 leaves on them, right? You can tell it's a maple, it's an oak, it's a red bud. We went looking for those. Took a bucket and my spade, and we dug them up. We went over to the property line, and we dug holes. And I planted the volunteers in a line for free. But that was not the end of it. We go out almost every day and check on those trees. They're small. They're just getting started. And so we go out. We put food around them. Right? I got those tree spikes that you can buy, and you tap them in around them so that they have some fertilizer in the soil with them. Right? We water them every night. We go out after the sun goes down so that it's not 197 degrees. And we put water, put the hose out, and we water them 5 or 10 minutes each. They've got water, so they've got a good drink. Right? We go out, we take care of them. We look after them. We tend to them. We don't want them to get wilty. The point being, planting the tree wasn't the end of our responsibility. We knew if the trees were going to take, if they were going to grow, we had to tend to them. We had to care for them. We had to walk along with them. We have to check on them and nurse them and feed them and water them and care for them. If we expect them to grow into the trees we want them to be along our property line. Dads do the same thing. We plant those seeds in our kids, seeds of faith and caring and kindness and strength, but we don't leave it to chance or whim that they're going to take root. We tend that garden. We walk with our kids on their journey, listening to them, watching them, seeing them make mistakes, seeing them have successes, supporting them, correcting them, admonishing, loving, guiding. Because we realize just planting the seed is not enough. How many times have I tried to grow something in the earth and I didn't watch it enough? I didn't tend to it. I didn't feed it. I didn't water it. And the birds ate it, or the bugs ate it, or the sun roasted it, or the rain drowned it, or it just didn't catch and it withered and died. As dads, we know this is not a one-time thing, this parenting. This is every day for a lifetime. As an adult, my father was still teaching me, still guiding me in many ways, still impacting and influencing the person that I was. With my daughter, it's the same thing. She's 21 years old now. According to the state, she's an adult. But I am still keenly aware of my responsibility as her dad. Just last night, I mentioned she's house-sitting for some friends out in Blue Springs. She wanted to cook us dinner for Father's Day. She said, "Why don't you guys come out and I'll make dinner?" And I said, "Great." So we went out to have dinner with her, and they had a grill. She put the charcoal in the grill, and she lit it, and she had chicken breasts and vegetables, zucchini and peppers and eggplant and stuff she was going to put on the grill. And as she was doing it, I was talking to her about, notice that your coals aren't even. They're thicker on the right side than they are on the left side. That means your right side's going to be hotter. There's more fuel on that side. So as stuff cooks, it's going to cook faster over there. You got to slide it over to where the heat's not as much, or you're going to burn stuff on the right side and undercook stuff on the left side. I was continuing to teach her because I didn't want to have a bad chicken breast for dinner. But the point being, you don't ever stop being dad. I'm always walking with her. I'm always tending to that garden. We're always talking about those things. I think as Christians, sometimes we fall short of the second piece. We fling our seeds, and that's important. We throw out grace and hope and love, and that's important. Don't stop doing that. But we also have a call to tend the garden, to go back and check on how things are growing, to feed them, to water them, to care for them, that they might take root, that they might grow in someone, that they might spring forth as faith and salvation and transformation. I think that you have probably planted many volunteer trees, touched people with a moment of grace or peace or forgiveness. But have you gone back to tend the garden, to check on those plants, to see how they're doing, to nurture them and love them? Just a couple weeks ago for Pentecost, we baptized three young people right up here in the front of the church. It was a wonderful celebration where three young people stood up and accepted that grace and love that we're putting out into the world. They stood up and said, yeah, I want to follow God. They took a public step in their faith, and it was a glorious moment. Since that moment when we celebrated with these three youth their faithful decision and courage, how many of you have tended that garden? How many of you have talked to them, sent them a note, called them, asked them about their life, shown interest in them as young Christians, helped them to weed out the deterrents to their faith? What was started a few weeks ago was a mustard seed, and it can grow into the greatest of shrubs, but it can also wither and die. If you won't tend this garden, who will? You planted this seed. You're the one that showed them Christ. They accepted that. They took the faithful step of baptism. They have become the new creations that Scripture tells us about. Now what? Their journey is surely not over. They have just broken through the ground. They are just reaching up to the sun for the first time. It is not enough to throw out seeds and simply hope for the best. Faith is a partnership, a collaborative journey. We walk this path together. We support one another. We lift one another. We love one another. We forgive one another. That our faith might be strengthened and grow. This is up to you. We are called to tend our Father's garden. That is what is planted here, and faith might grow to overtake the whole world. Reach out to those young people this week. Reach out and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. If you ever need to talk about faith, if you ever need someone to pray for you, if you ever have a question, come to me. I might not know the answer. I might be just as lost as you are, but I'll walk this journey with you. We are called to tend our Father's garden. Go out today. Water and tend the garden. Love it. Care for it. Embrace it. That something beautiful and strong and faithful will grow. Amen. I gotta sing first.